This podcast is a production of Bridges Church. Please visit us at www.bridgeschurch.net.
All right, so if you have your Bibles, because that's where the answers are, open them to Proverbs 3 on your phone, if you have the physical thing there. We will put it on the screen. But today we are continuing our series that we're calling Back to School. So Proverbs 3 is where we're just saying, God, teach us. So hopefully you're there. We announced a lot of stuff today. I hope you kept up with everything. You know what's going on. But Multiply is going on. And as you guys know, I had a sabbatication in July, took the time off. And one of the reasons I took the time off was to get my Multiply project going and launched. I worked with Doug McIntyre, and we did what we called 20,000 feet. And basically what 20,000 feet was my response to a friend of mine who's raising money by going to Kilimanjaro and hiking that in Kenya. And I didn't want to travel all that way. So I thought, how can I still get, and that's 19,000 feet, how can I still get the elevation gain without having to spend all that money to travel? And I thought, well, then we have all these local mountains here. I will do that. I'll just hike and get sponsors. And we've raised quite a bit of money. Doug, most of it, but I got some of it too. And God has just blessed it. But one of the things I want to do is just get out. Get out in nature, go to the mountains. We are so close to the mountains here. It's such a beautiful place. And we put together 8 hikes with a total of 20,000 elevation gains. So wherever we started, we added up to the top. And we used an app called All Trails to do that. We just said, whatever it says, let's do that. And it was a great summer. I loved every second of it. I loved planning the trips. I loved picking out the restaurants that we were going to eat afterwards. That was always a thing to look forward to. I can tell you some really good barbecue places in Western Carolina. And we just had a great time. There's something about getting to the top of a mountain and looking out on God's creation. And it was just incredible to do that over 8 different hikes. It was so fun. We had, beyond the two of us, we had 9 more people that were part of our community, got to hear their stories, got to visit with them. And then we kind of developed a ranking. So I'm just going to tell you what our hardest one was, which is Cold Mountain. If you saw the movie, read the book, which I didn't either, the mountain is worse, okay? It's the hardest thing I've done in a while, 10 miles all up. You ever heard that thing, up both ways? It was up both ways. I don't know how they did it. There was never a level spot. And it was like at the end of 10 hours or what? No, 6 hours, 10 miles, we were ready to be done and just be finished. That was the hardest. The most inspirational, Mount LeConte. Anybody ever been there in Tennessee? All right, you got to do this one. It's in the Great Smoky Mountains. It's the 6th highest mountain east of the Mississippi. It was beautiful. It rained 3 inches in an hour the night before. So the rivers are rushing. You know, the mountain streams are just rushing. You cross these bridges made out of logs. That was incredible. Hiked up through the canyons. And then there were waterfalls spilling onto the pathway where you're holding cables and looking out on God's creation is like, I just want to take a mental photograph and just soak that in. It was just an amazing time. The most epic was Grandfather Mountain, if you've ever done that, up and over the top, where we're like, this is scary, walking along the edge, looking off the edge and seeing the clouds come up, and you could see everywhere, and it's like, God, you've done some amazing things. That was a consistent thing, just the grandeur of God's creation. We had some other Christian like consecutive things or consistent things. One of the things I do want to mention today that I did, and I'm going to confess to you, I did every single hike, and it's not a good thing. Every hike I went on as the leader, I either got us lost or almost got us lost. Every hike that I led, there was some point where we got to a place and I'm going, I'm not sure what to do right now. We went to Pilot Mountain. We went on a different trail to the Grindstone, if you guys know that, to the top. We got to this connection point. You could either go straight, you could turn left or go right. All Trails is my app. I'm looking, I can't figure which way to go. Linda Tatum was with us, the only woman. So what did she do? She asked for directions. She asked somebody walking. They said, yours is the right way. So we went that way, and that was right. If Linda hadn't been there, we'd still be wandering, perhaps. I don't know, but I think she was there. On Hanging Rock, you guys ever been Hanging Rock? Moore's Knob, beautiful. If you've never been up there, there's this observation tower up there. You can see Winston, you can see Pilot, you can see Virginia. Everywhere, we hiked up to the top of that. We're on our way down, and we hit the endless stairs. If you've ever done this hike, you know the endless stairs. We hit that, and we go, wait a minute. We didn't come up the endless stairs. Why are we going down the endless stairs? And I had that moment with, I missed the trail. And when you're in front, it's embarrassing when you miss the trail. Because everybody's looking and go, I don't think I trust you anymore. And I go, come on, guys, give me another chance. I'll get us back. And you got to make your mistake early. So I hit the endless stair. I go, okay, this is not right. We doubled back, and there was the turn. Guess what I was doing when we missed the turn? I was talking. I wasn't paying attention. I'm just going. You ever done that before? You're just talking. You're driving down the road, and you're talking. You go, I think I missed the turn. Well, I did that, so that was on me. The worst one I did was on Mount Mitchell, which is the highest one east of the Mississippi. We parked a car at the top, so we didn't have to go to the top and down. I'm getting lazy at the end. Okay, this was the hardest one. So we put a car at the top, and then we were going to drive to the beginning, and on the way down, the GPS said, turn here, take a left, and we looked at the left, and it was a gravel road. And I go, I'm overruling the GPS. We are not going down a gravel road. And then we went further, and there was a road to the right. It says, turn right. And I go, I've done this before. That's not right. All right? So some of you guys are going to be with me. Have you ever overruled the GPS and you were wrong? Have you ever done that before? I don't think this is the right way. I think we need to go a different way. That was me. And so we kept going until I saw the sign that says Tennessee, and I knew we were going the wrong direction. And I had to just say, guys, I'm off. We're going to trust the GPS. And we went back, found the opening, and I gave up being the leader. That was my last time. Because there's times where you keep going, I keep messing up. I'm uncertain, and I'm not sure the direction we should go. Have you ever been there? We're calling this series Back to School. And one of the things that happens when you go back to school is a period of uncertainty, isn't it? Some of us have started college, and we're going to classes. Sometimes for the first time in a new college, there's a lot of uncertainty. Some of you as parents have dropped your kids off at college, and there's uncertainty there, like what's going to happen? How are they going to get along with their roommate? Are they going to find their classes? Are they actually going to study? Are they going to party? All those things are uncertainty. When you start school as a student, like what's this teacher going to do? Is it going to be hard? Is it going to be like a lot of homework? Are they going to be nice to me? Am I going to make any friends? Are people I know going to be in there? If you're starting a new school, it's like, am I going to fit in here? And if you're a teacher, you're going, who's going to be in my class this year that I'm going to be spending time with? Right? That's all that goes through your head and your thinking. But even if you're out of school, aren't there times of uncertainty? I mean, do you think about the fact that we are uncertain almost all day long with certain things? I mean, simple things like, what am I going to have for lunch? And you're not certain unless you have put something aside. For some of us, it's uncertainty like this. We've got an issue at work. I don't know whether to bring it up or not. I don't know what to say if I do, or do I just let it go? You ever had uncertainty with your car? Do we get it fixed, or do we sell it and start over again? You ever been there before? It's like, I don't know whether we put more money into this or not. You ever been uncertain about how to spend your money? Ever been uncertain how to spend your evening? Do I need to take care of these chores, or can I just sit and relax? Have you ever been certain about a relationship? We were going, I'm not sure where this is heading. And if it continues down this road, I don't know what's going to happen to us. So I'm really uncertain, and it's just not a good feeling when I'm there. Have you ever been there? You ever just been through just tiny uncertainty? It can be very small things. Like, do I buy Starbucks every single day? And could I save that money? Could I put my kid through college with the money I spent at Starbucks? I mean, those are the kind of uncertainty you have, right? You just like, I don't know if I spend the money or not. We're always dealing with uncertainty because we can't see around the corner. Isn't that true? You don't know what's going to happen. Sometimes you just launch out and have to do it. There's a book on uncertainty written by an author, Frank Wright, and he says there's basically two types of uncertainty. One is called risk, and you guys know about risk, right? Dealing with risk is simply this. It's, I know the odds. I kind of know what might happen if I spend this money, if I do this thing. I kind of know that if I deal with this risk, it's going to cost me this. And so that's the first type of uncertainty. You've done this kind of thing before, and you've seen what happens with it, and so you kind of got some feel for it, right? I kind of know if I go down this path, this may happen or this might happen. But the other kind of uncertainty is called true uncertainty. This is when you launch into something and go, I just don't know. I have no way to deal with this. I have no way to process this. If I enter this space, if I do this thing, I really don't know what's going to happen. I have no idea. And yet I have to make a decision. I've been told you have to make a decision now, and I just don't know where it's going. You ever been there? Been to the doctor? You have some choices. What are the odds? I don't know. I'm just going to go. Buy the house. Is it time to sell the house? Don't know. Is the housing market crested? Don't know. Don't know what to do. Relationship continue, not continue? I don't know. I don't know what happened if I do. Do I continue with this doctor or I switch doctors? I don't know. You ever been there? That's true uncertainty, right? 3,000 years ago, the author of Proverbs wrote this. He says, "Do not boast about tomorrow, for you don't know what a day may bring." In other words, we're dealing with uncertainty all the time. And the thing is, God wants to take us to school. That's what this series is about. Jesus is a teacher. We are students. We are disciples. So we're constantly going, okay, God, teach me. Jesus, show me what you want me to do. And our series is based on Proverbs chapter 3. So hopefully you're there. We're going through a passage that just a few verses at a time. And today we're going to land on my favorite life verse. This is the verse that has guided me my whole life. So I'm excited to share this with you and just kind of let you into who I am and what is important to me and what God has taught me through this. Now, in this particular verse, I'm going to use the New King James. Normally, I use the English Standard Version, but I memorized it this way, and if I try to do something else, I'll mess it up. So I'm going to go with what I know, okay? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Let's read this together. I'll read it out loud. He says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths." It's a verse about dealing with life. It's a verse about making decisions. It's a verse about dealing with uncertainty. It's a poem. It doesn't rhyme. It doesn't have rhythm. But what it has is something called parallelism. It's using different statements to contrast and compare and to lead us down different paths and cause us to think. If you look at the first one, he's parallelism with a couple of ideas. First of all, he's saying, trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's one idea. And then a similar idea, but opposite, is lean not on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart when you're dealing with uncertainty. The Hebrew word for trust is the word betach. And it means simply that, to trust, to be confident in, to put your life into their hands. It really means to be certain, which is kind of powerful when you deal with this, if you think about it, because it's like to be certain when you're not certain. I'm certain in a person. I'm certain in my trust of God, but I don't know about my circumstances. I'm certain about who God is. I'm certain about who he is and what he can do. I'm certain about what he's done in the past. So my trust, my confidence is in God. And then he parallels with that and he says, okay, that's the positive side. Now the negative side is don't trust and don't lean on your own understanding. To lean on simply means to put your weight on it. Put all your weight on it. He said, don't put your weight on what you think. Don't put your weight on what you believe as far as your worldview if it's not on God. Put your faith in God. Now on the stage we have a couple of ladders, and I just want you to kind of picture this is the positive side. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. This is a little giant, and I can stand on it, and I pretty much trust it's going to hold me, right? It's secure. I've used this ladder before. We helped somebody go up on the roof using this ladder. I watched him. I stayed on the ground, and we helped him get up on the roof using this ladder. So I knew when I stepped on it, I was going to be good. I'm trusting in this. I'm putting my weight on it. I know this is a positive thing. This is worthwhile to put my trust in. I'm certain it's going to hold me up. On the other side of the stage, and if anybody knows first aid, be ready, okay? This is our inherited ladder. This is one that was left to us when we arrived, and I don't know why we still keep it, except I could use it today. This is the ladder that is held together by glue, I think, and so I'm going to step on it. But this represents, do not lean on your own understanding. It's wobbly, see? It'll go like this, and it's like when you see people stand on it, your heart rate starts to go, okay? We've had some people do this at church and going, get off of that thing. There's a little giant back there. Get off of that one. But we still have it, I think, out of memory. But this is inherited. We didn't buy it. We found it. And for many of us, when we're doing our life, right, we're doing life, this is our own understanding. We inherit our own understanding. We get it from our parents. We get it from our family. We get it from our history. We get it from our culture. We get it from what's on TV. We get it from who we listen to. And so we build our understanding on this, but the trouble is, it doesn't hold. I'm amazed constantly. We take advice from people who can't run their own lives. You ever notice that? We look to stars and go, okay, I want to live my life like that. And we realize, you've been married X amount of time. You failed ultimately, you know, many, many times. Yeah, I'm going to trust you. Whatever you say, I'm going to believe it, even though you can't run your own life. And we use our own understanding. We put our weight on it. And then we wonder why it doesn't work out. We wonder why, when we get to uncertainty, we make choices and then they collapse. And God says, you got a choice. You can trust in the Lord with all your heart. I can put my weight on this. I can be certain of this one. Or I can choose the other one. And the other one is rickety. It doesn't work. So he said, there's kind of your two choices in life, which way you're going to go. You can trust and have peace, and you can find my way, and you can live on that one, or you can trust this one, your choice in life. But when you're dealing with uncertainty, don't you want to be certain of something? You can be certain of God. Now, in this passage, again, there's some parallelism. There's different things to look at. The second part of this is also parallelism, if you're still there. It says, trust in the Lord with your own all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Notice the last part. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. What does that mean? In all your ways, acknowledge him. All your ways. Every decision, everything that you're going to do, acknowledge him. It simply means to stop and say to God, I invite you into this. I invite your presence. I don't know what to do. I need your help. And it's to acknowledge who he is and what he can do, and that he can see around the corner, and he knows what's coming, that he's all-powerful, he can do whatever he wants, that he loves us and he cares about us. So we acknowledge that. We worship him in that moment. We say, God, I recognize you. I love you. I care for you because you care for me. And then there's a promise, and the promise, he shall direct your paths. See how it works together? One's a if-then kind of clause. If you do this, then God will direct your paths. Some of your versions say he shall make your paths straight. I like that in a hiking situation. It's nice to know your paths are straight. I'm going down the right path because there is a path that God wants you to take. There is a direction he wants you to go. There is a thing he wants you to seek after. He just says, I want you to do it my way. Trust me and my ways with all your heart. Put all your weight on it, but don't count on your own understanding. Don't count on the old way because it's not going to work. Bring me into the situation and it's going to be okay. Now, I want to do an experiment with you because I just want to see how this works, okay? I want to see today if you know your directions sitting in a room where you can't really look out, all right? So let's just say for a second that I have a compass, and I do, and I'm going to look at the compass, but you can't use your phones now. Don't turn off the feature that has the compass, okay? And I'm going to ask you to do something to trust me. Nobody's going to hurt you. Nobody's going to do anything. But I'm going to ask you to close your eyes in just a second, and then I'm going to ask you to point to true north, all right? And then when we open our eyes, I want you to leave your fingers pointing in that direction, okay? So let's see how good you are with directions. You ready? All right, close your eyes. Where's true north? Point that way. All right, now open your eyes and look around the room, first of all. They're pointing in different directions. You guys are all pointing in different directions. You got it down where it is, all right? Even the people in the back who are cheating with their phones, you can't do that, all right? So I'm using my compass, and it tells me that true north is that way. How many got it right? All right, how many that got it right completely guessed, and you had no idea? All right, so how many got it wrong? Wow, it worked, okay. So it's hard in a room like this, right? And the thing about here in Winston-Salem, there are no straight lines to the streets. You ever notice that? Most of them are not. And downtown, they're all gridded. But out here in the country, you get turned around pretty quick. You ever been driving on a highway that says you're going on Highway 81 and you're going north, but you're really going south? It ever happened to you? And you go, what happened? This is the wrong direction. But it happens in our area. It's hard to know. Now let me ask you this. What if I told you that a half mile that way, due north, was everything that God wanted for you? Everything. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control, gentleness, all those things. What if I told you that contentment was that way? What if I told you that your prayers could be answered if you just walked that way one half mile and you arrived? What would you do? What would you do? Would you say, I think true north is that way? So based on my understanding, I'm going that way. What would happen in a half mile? You'd end up at lunch, right? You'd end up at lunch somewhere, like because you get hungry. Where would you end up? There's a couple of places that way. What if you went this way? You know, what would you find? You'd end up where Burger King used to be, and now Cookout is going, right? Where would you end up? But if you wanted to go that way, what would you do? You would pull out a compass. You'd look at your phone and go, I will do everything in my power to go true north, because I know that's what God has for me. And I'm going to trust God. When he says go due north, it's due north. And I'll do what it takes to get there. He says do this. It's really simple. Trust God with all your heart. You don't know. You don't know exactly what you're going to find, but I'm going to trust God that when I get there, it's good. I'm going to trust him with all my heart that he has a direction, has a plan. It's going to be great. I'm going to trust God with everything. And not only that, I'm not going to trust my own ideas. When I feel like turning right, I'm not going to turn right. When the GPS tells me to do something, I'm going to go that way, right? And I'm going to acknowledge him at every step. God, this is your path, and I'm on it, and I'm going to get to the end of it. That's the choices we have in life. And he says he will give us direction. If I could boil this down to kind of a principle, I would say this, that uncertainty that we all hate and we don't want to deal with, uncertainty is actually an opportunity. Turn your perspective. That's what teaching's all about. God wants to change the way we think. He goes, look, I want you to think about uncertainty this way. I want you to see it as an opportunity. Whenever you're uncertain, it's an opportunity to turn to me. Whenever you're uncertain, it's time to trust me. Whenever you're uncertain, it's time to get off of this ladder. It's an opportunity, right? It's an opportunity to do something different. Because what will happen with most of us when we deal with uncertainty is we get anxious and we get afraid and we get stressed, right? Because we think, I've got to come up with an answer. Ever happened to you? I got to come up with a way to fix this. The weight is on me. I feel the weight. If I don't make the right choice, I'm going to mess up. You ever felt that? We've all felt that, right? Look at it as an opportunity. When I'm uncertain, it's an opportunity. What's an opportunity for? Here's some ideas that I have. Look at it this way. Uncertainty is actually not just an opportunity, but it's an invitation to submission. Uncertainty is an invitation to submission. What does that mean? That means when I'm uncertain, I just simply stop and I go, God, I submit to whatever you want me to do. I'll do that. True north, I'll go. Climb the ladder, I'll do it. I'm going to submit because I think you can see around the corner and I can't. I think you're going to show me. I think I can trust you here. It's an opportunity to submit to God. It's a whole different way of looking at uncertainty. Instead of a negative, it's a positive. I'm here where I don't know what to do. It's an opportunity to see God at work. But I have to submit in advance and go, okay, if you tell me to go, I'm going to tell you in advance I'm going because I trust you with all my heart. You're going to give me good directions. It's an opportunity, which is an invitation to submission. The second part of this, and it fits with the verse, is it's not only an invitation to submission, but submission is the pathway to direction. It's simply that. If you want God's direction, if you want him to make your path straight, which is what I want, then I need to submit and go his route. Trust him with all my heart, acknowledge him at every step, and I'm not going to trust myself. I hope that makes sense. It's simply an invitation to submission, and submission is a pathway to direction. When I submit, he will direct me. Because otherwise, if he gives me the compass, and I go, sure, it says true north is that way, but I'm going this way, that's not submission. I'm going to do it my way. And you know what we do, what happens when we do it our way? You already know. We deal with the consequences, and then we turn around and go, okay, God, which direction was that again? How do I get there? Because that's what submission's all about. I'll do it your way. If you go back and look at this verse again, it says simply, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Put your full weight on him and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, praise him, submit to him, recognize him, and he shall direct your paths. In the Old Testament, there is a king that doesn't get enough credit, and no one names their kid after him, and I don't know why. His name is Jehoshaphat. Have you ever met a Jehoshaphat in your life? Maybe so. Jehoshaphat was king of Judah. In a time of great uncertainty, he became king as a young guy, and he walks into a situation where everybody is doing their own thing. And Judah used to be really strong for the Lord. They used to trust the Lord with all their heart. Now they've left God. And the thing is, the people that are in charge, they're not doing any of what we just talked about. They're actually worshiping other gods. They're trusting in their own understanding. They're leading them in the wrong way. So Jehoshaphat comes in. He starts making changes. You got to get the wrong people off the bus, right people on the bus in my life. I need people surrounding me. We need people surrounding me that are trusting God, that love God. He does all that. Things are going good. We're heading in the right direction. And then one day, this messenger comes and says, look, we got a problem. Three armies have banded together. They're on their way. They got more people than we do. And we're in trouble. What do you do? Do you call a strategy meeting and you say, guys, let's get together. What are we going to do? Let's plan it out. Do you go back to what's happened in the past, start thinking about my experience? I've done this as a young king. He could have done all that. You know what he did? He said, we're going to have a prayer meeting. Call everybody together. Let's fast. Let's pray. We don't know what to do. We can't do this on our own. He says, let's have a prayer meeting. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 6 and 12 tells us what he prayed. As he went to the Lord and acknowledged him in all his ways, he said, O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? Meaning, you're up here and you can see where we are. You can see what's going on. That's who you are. I acknowledge that. I acknowledge all you and all that you can do. You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. Like, this problem I'm dealing with is not really about me and them. It's about you, because you're in charge. You can do this. In your hand, your power and might, so that none is able to withstand you. This problem I'm facing, it's not too big for you. Put yourself there. What's the biggest problem you ever faced? You know your view of God if your problem is bigger than your God. If your problem is bigger than your God, you're dealing with huge, huge stress and anxiety. He goes, God, you're bigger than any problem they will ever deal with. None is able to withstand you. We are powerless against this great horde that is coming against us. And then he prayed the prayer. I love this prayer. This is the prayer that I think can change the world that you live in. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. I don't know what to do. I got this ladder and I don't know what to do, but you do. So my eyes are on you. I'm submitting to you. I'm looking to you. I'm counting on you. I'm trusting in you. I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you, because you're going to answer. That was his prayer. What do you think God did? Maybe you've never heard the story of Jehoshaphat. Maybe that's why nobody's kids are named Jehoshaphat. But you know what God did? He showed up. First of all, he put his spirit on a man that says, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. God's going to work. All you have to do is trust. All you do is do whatever he tells you to do. Okay, we got it. So what did God do? Three armies are coming. They're marching on. No one would ever thought this. No one would ever dream this up. No one ever written this down. This is the strategy. This is what happened. Two of the kings got together and said, let's get rid of this third guy, because we go in and win. We got to split with him. So they attacked him, wiped him out. Then the other two guys get together and go, wait a minute, we just fought a little battle. I think they're weak. We think they're weak. They attacked each other, wiped each other out. So there's Judah going, here comes the battle, but they've already defeated each other. They walk out. There's all the spoils of war on the ground. They pick everything up, and no one would have ever guessed that that's the way God was going to do it. But they trusted in the Lord with all their heart, and God made their path straight. He won the battle. It's simply this principle, right? Again, uncertainty is simply this. It's an invitation to submission. And submission is the pathway to direction. They said, God, you do it. You do it. I submit to you. When God teaches us, he wants to change us. He wants to change our behavior. He wants to change our perspective. He wants to change the way we do life. He wants us to look more like Jesus. In this series, we've been giving you the 7x7x7 challenge, right? Each week, it's a different thing to do. Week one was to spend time in God's word. One verse a day, say it 7 times to yourself out loud. Get it in your heart. Live it out. 7 verses, 7 days. Week two was 7 acts of kindness a day to 7 people over 7 days. And one of the things I enjoyed is I heard people going, okay, I did this, I did that. I couldn't get 7, so I had to do this. And it's fun to hear. But the main point of this is changing our lives and thinking of kindness, becoming kind people, having a kind family, living in a kind church, in a kind world, right? It's just changing it by little behaviors. Here's your challenge this week. 7 decisions by 7 prayers over 7 days. Big or small. God, I don't know what to have for lunch today. I've spent too much money the last 2 weeks. What should I have for lunch today? God, I got to write an email, and I don't know what to say to this person because it's an email, and we've had some conflict. I'm going to stop, and I'm just going to pray. What should I write? God, I don't know what to do about this particular habit. I can't break it. I'm unsure. What should I do today? God, I have dealt with this for too long. I've tried everything in the world to do. What should I do? God, do we invest more money in retirement? Is that what you want me to do? What do you want me to do? Here's your prayer. So simple. We're just going to take it from Jehoshaphat. Give him credit, though. I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you, God. Big or small, because the way you build a skill is by doing it repetitively, right? So every time you come up to any kind of uncertainty, just stop and go, God, what do you want me to do? I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you. Simple prayer every day, 7 times a day, till we learn how to do it. And it's just about being humble. God, I've gotten to the point where I know my ladder's not going to work. I want yours. If you're a follower of Jesus, this is something he's still teaching us, right? He just wants us more dependent. You might be 90% of the way there. I'm living for you, Jesus. I'm doing everything. But there's 10%. You're still teaching me. If you don't follow Jesus, if you haven't, this might be the time to go, God, I've made so many mistakes. I want your way. God, I've made so many bad choices, and I've regretted them. God, I just don't know all the time, and I'm tired of dealing with anxiety. God, I don't know about my future. God, I don't know what's going to happen with the sin in my life. God, I don't know what's going to happen in eternity. I just want to trust Jesus. That's what decision-making is all about. Close with this verse, Psalm 37, verse 5. The author of Proverbs, probably Solomon, the ones we're reading, his father David wrote this, commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him, which is that same word we used before, and he will help you. Jesus is just saying, I'm here. I'm here for you. Whatever decision you want to make, I want to be part of it. But it starts with giving our lives fully to Jesus Christ. I want to follow you. I don't know what to do, but you do. That's what he wants from us. Trust him fully and completely. Commit to him, and he will help us. Let's pray together. Father God, in this moment, in this place, we recognize that we are so limited. We can't see around the corner. We don't know what today will bring, not much less tomorrow. We don't know all the consequences to decisions that we make, but you do. And you have the power to overcome, and you have a plan, and you have a purpose, and you have a future and a hope for each one of us. And I pray for anyone today that's here that maybe it's the time just to commit their life to Jesus or recommit it. Jesus, I've gone the wrong path for too long. I just want to go your way. Help us daily during this week ahead to commit everything we do to you because we want your outcome. We want your direction. We want to please and honor you. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Today, we want to take this time to approach communion maybe in a different way, as a time of submission, a time of worship. Jesus died so that we could live. Jesus gave his life so we could have new life. His blood was shed for us. His body was given for us. In Romans 12:1, Paul writes this. He said, so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God, to submit to God because of all he has done for you. Think about all that Jesus has done for you. He's given his life. He's given his all for you. He said, I just want you to give it back. He said, let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Today, when you take communion, just stop and say, God, here I am. Fully, as much as I can do, is in my limited understanding, I want to worship you for all you've done for me. And then eat the bread and drink the juice, which is the example that Jesus set for us. Let's pray. Father, in this time of communion, it's time of commitment, time of worship, a time of giving of ourselves to you because Jesus gave fully for us and took away the things that we've done wrong, the sin in our lives, so that we could live free. So we worship him today. We worship you with all our heart. In the name of Jesus, amen. Let's come take communion together.